Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is V'chiroi Staf Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you find on the upper part of Daf Tes. Before beginning the Gemara, we refer to our title heading, one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of our Gemara marking system, the Mark Gemaras that you see on your screen. We feature title headings and structural notes from time to time in the margin. In this case, under our title heading, Vinosei, we have written Sveikos Beleidas Pitrei Chamor, different issues of doubt that arise in the birth of a firstborn donkey. So in our Mishnah, we will see different situations of doubt. Chamora Shelo Bichra V'yolda Shnei Zichorim, a donkey that has not born any children yet, and it now gives birth to a twin birth, two male offspring. Nosein tle echad l'kohen. The Kohen will receive one sheep. This is the redemption of the firstborn donkey. In other words, even though two were born as its first birth, only one is going to be has a need for redemption. Apparently, according to our Mishnah, there is only one that's a real firstborn. In other words, two do not come out exactly simultaneously. Another case, Zohar Unikeva, if this Chamora that has not born any children now gives birth to its initial birth, a twin birth, but male and female, and we don't know which one came out first, Mafrish tle echod li'atzmoi. The owner sets aside as a form of redemption a sheep, but he does not have to give the sheep to the Kohen. The setting aside or the act of redemption is done on the possibility that the firstborn was the male child, the male offspring, and not the female. For, of course, if it were the female, so there's no need for redemption whatsoever. The halacha of redeeming firstborn is only firstborn male offspring. In this case, we don't know which one was the firstborn, so out of doubt, in order to remove the isur, the prohibition of the firstborn donkey, whereby if one has a firstborn donkey, it's not something that one is allowed to use or benefit from per se. This itself will be a discussion about Isur Hanoah concerning unredeemed firstborn donkey, but in the meantime, we'll just work with this explanation that it's not something that is permitted for basic use until you redeem it. So an act of redemption has to take place, however, from the monetary aspect of things. In other words, once the sanctity is transferred to the sheep, it becomes an issue of mere monetary matters. So there, since there is a matter of doubt, the Kohen, who would be the receiver, would have to prove that the male was the firstborn. And in the absence of that proof, the owner keeps the redemption animal, the sheep that he had set aside. Now, another situation, Shtei Chamorios Shelo Bichru. We have two female donkeys that have not given birth yet. V'yoldu Shnei Zichorim. And each one gives birth to a male offspring. So this is obvious. No saying Shnei Tloyim L'Kohen. Two sheep will have to be given to a Kohen because, of course, you have two clear firstborn births. Zohar Unikeva, these two first bearing mother donkeys give birth to a male, the other a female. Oy Shnei Zoharim Unikeva, or there was a twin birth plus a female. Now let's say that again. There were three animals born and the sum total of animals born were two males and a female, but we don't know who gave birth to what. It's clear that one of these two animals experienced a twin birth, but it's not clear if the twin birth were two males or male and female. So, and in the case that it was male and female, so maybe the female came out first on that side. So we don't know what happened. All we know is that there's a sum total of three animals born, and in such a case, it's clear that there is a minimum of one true firstborn. So, no Saint Tle Echod Le Kohen. In this case, one sheep will have to be given to a Kohen, because as we said, it's clear that there is one male here that's firstborn. In the same scenario of two female donkeys that have not born, this happens now. Shtei nekevos v'zochar, some total of three births, but there are two females and one male. O shnei zocharim u'shtei nekevos, or two males plus two females, namely four offspring are born, two from each animal. And in this case, in these last two examples, ein kan l'kohen klum, the kohen will not receive any sheep, because in these last two examples of births, it could be that females came out first from both mother animals. And in such a case, when there is such a doubt, as we mentioned before, in monetary matters, after a symbolic redemption is done, there is no need to give the sheep to the Kohen. Echod achas bichra v'achas sheloi bichra. Two female donkeys. One is experiencing its first time birth, and the other one has already born a child. The bichra means it already gave birth previously. And from these two female donkeys, v'yoldu shnei zecharim. Two males are born, so no Saint Tle Echod LeKohen. Only one is a true firstborn. The other one is a subsequent birth for it. So only one firstborn here, and it's clear, it's a clear firstborn. Hence, the sheep is given to the Kohen. Zochor Nekeva, in this case, there's a male and female that are born from these two mothers, and it's not clear which mother bore the female. It could be that the male came from the second female giving birth its second time. So it's not clear that there is a positive firstborn offspring in this case. Mafush tle echod le'atzmo. So again, a sheep is set aside on the side that maybe the male was a firstborn birth, but it's not given to the Kohen. Shenemar. Now this pasuk is brought in not to illustrate the point just made, which is the ordinary case when you see the expression Shenemar, but it's a referral back to the Reisha of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah mentioned that the redemption of a firstborn donkey is through a sheep. So from where do we know that? Ufetach amar tifdeh b'seh. That's what the pasuk says. Firstborn donkey is redeemed through a sheep. And the Mishnah explains, when the word se appears, it's not really limited to sheep, but it can include goats as well, because you see in Psukim elsewhere, se kvosim v'se izim. So the Mishnah says, min ha-kvosim u min ha-izim. Furthermore, zohar o nekeva, whether the se is male or female, gadol v'katan, whether it's large or small, tamim u'ba'amum, whether it's unblemished or blemished. All of these are non-issues when it comes to the animal being used for the redemption, the seh that's used for redemption. Upoideboi pa'amim harbei. The same seh that was used for redemption can be recycled, so to speak. That, let us say, someone presented a seh as redemption for a firstborn to a Kohen, and then he bought back that very seh, and this fellow who bought back the seh experience is another donkey bearing a firstborn offspring, a male offspring. So he can use that same seh that he used previously for redemption again to redeem this new firstborn. Nichnas ledirlis aser. This particular section of the Mishnah will be explained later in the Gemara, not during today's shiur, but in a later daf. This section has to do with the tithing of the Meiser Behemoth, and it says, V'im Meis Nehnin Bo. If it dies, it's something that one is allowed to benefit from. As we said, this section will have to be explained later in the Gemara, subsequent daf. The Gemara begins with a question, but before we learn the Gemara itself, let us glance at the side of them where we have a nosei, a topic heading, Chamor Shelo Bichro V'Yolda Shnei Zechorim. In a case where a donkey did not bear children till this point, and now is bearing for its first time, and it bears two male offspring. No Sein Rak Echod LeKohen, only one sheep is given to the Kohen. So the Gemara will raise the following possibility, that name or delok Rabbi Yossi Aglili, a suggestion that our mission is not like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Omar Efshur Letzamtein, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is a Tana that feels that when it comes to issues of duality or doubleness, there is a possibility of exactness. What do we mean by that? Well, if you have two males exiting from the birth canal of a donkey, as far as Rabbi Yossi Aglili is concerned, he applies a principle called Efshir Letzamtzem, and which has broad applications in halacha to many other areas as well. However, for our purposes, Efshir Letzamtzem would mean that the two may have come out literally simultaneously, not one before the other, but as one would say in a race, you would say a tie. As such, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it might be understood that you would have to give to the Kohen two two sheep, if you will, as redemptions for the two firstborn. Our Mishnah that featured such a case, the opening case of our Mishnah, mentioned the giving of only one seh to the Kohen. So it would seem that our Mishnah does not subscribe to the concept of Efshir Letzamtzem, and hence our Mishnah would be unlike or in conformity to Rabbi Yossi Aglili's approach. The Gemara, Man Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah that said that a Chamorah that did not give birth till this date and gives birth to two male offspring gives only one sheep to the Kohen? Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah is the first of two approaches in this, what we call Roman numeral number one. There will be a second version of this discussion a few lines later. This breakdown can be seen by the use of our Roman numerals to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. There will be a few lines later an Iko de Amri, a different version of presenting this Gemara. But in the first version, Roman numeral number one, you will notice Rabbi Yirmiyah and this two lines later, Abaye, are underlined. They represent two approaches to this particular discussion. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, he feels that as far as authorship of our Mishnah, Delok Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Rabbi Yirmiyah says that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Now, what has Rabbi Yossi Aglili said on this topic? So Rashi points out that later in the Masechta, Rabbi Yossi Aglili appears in the case of a sheep that never bore children, and it bears its first birth, a twin birth, two males. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, in that case, with regard to a kosher variety animal bearing its first, having its first birth, and two males are born, both will be given to the Kohen because of this idea called Efshir Letzamtzem. And both, as far as Rabbi Yossi Aglili is concerned, came out exactly at the same time. Now, That is Rabbi Yossi Aglili's statement later in the Perek, in the Masichta. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu says that our Mishnah is obviously not like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. De'i Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if our Mishnah were authored by him, Ha Omar, but he has already said, and as we pointed out later on Daf Yud Zayin in this Masichta, he has said, Efshur Litzamtzem. It is possible that two came out exactly at the same time. And in the case of the sheep that is bearing its first birth and bears two male offspring, both are given to the Kohen. Omar Abaye. Abaye differs from Rabbi Yirmiyah and says, Afilu Temo Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Our Mishnah may very well have been authored by Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Shiny Hossam, the case there, namely with the sheep bearing its firstborn, its twin birth, sheep or kosher variety animal, which also has halachas of Bechor that apply to it, that is different. Dichtiv, it says in the case of a kosher variety first birth, and in this case a twin first birth, the pasuk says hazichorim lashem. Now there's a plural word there, the males, but that is a pasuk in the case of a kosher variety animal, a tohor, and that's not the case necessarily, says Abai, it's not the case by a chamor. You don't have a pasuk that uses the plural form, and therefore even if you say a twin birth could be exiting at exactly at the same time, you're only expected to give one redemption animal to the Kohen. The Gemara asks, well, if you have a precedent for a twin birth resulting in giving both to the Kohen in the case of the Rochel, in the case of the kosher variety animal, the Ligmar Minei, why not learn from that? Let that be a precedent setter. And once again, Rabbi Yossi Aglili would hold that in a donkey twin birth, both donkeys need redemption, unlike our Mishnah. So Abaye says, Ha-mi-eit rachmona ha-zichorim. The word ha-zichorim that appears in the kosher variety firstborn is a word that also has a limitation associated with it, namely the doubleness, the need of setting aside two is limited to the case of kosher variety animal first birth and not the case of the donkey first birth. Therefore, according to Abaye, our Mishnah, which speaks about a donkey first birth, a twin delivery, Rabbi Yossi Aglili would agree, according to Abaye, that only one redemption animal is given to the Kohen. Even though he personally holds, in the case of a kosher variety twin first birth, both are given to the Kohen. Ika d'Amri. Now we have another version of this discussion, and hence we label this as Roman numeral number 2. In this particular approach, we don't see Rav Yirmiyah's name opening the discussion. So the Gemara says, Lema delo Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Let us say that our Mishnah concerning the Chamorah experiencing as its first birth a twin first birth and saying only one redemption animal is given to the Kohen is unlike Rabbi Yossi Aglili. De'i Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if our Mishnah were authored by him, Ha Omar, but he is known to have said Efshur Litzamtzem, that there is a possibility of exact delivery, and if that be the case, you would give two to the Kohen. Omar Abaye. Abaye, and you'll notice, like in the first Lashon, in the first version, he says, Afilu Temer Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Our Mishnah may very well be like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Ah, you'll say that Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds Efshel et Samtsem, but he said that in the context of a kosher variety animal bearing its first offspring. Shiny Hossam, that case with the Rochel Shelo Bichra, which is a Gemara mentioned on Daf Yud Zayin, where Rabbi Yossi Aglili says both are given, that's different. Dichtiv hazachorim lashem. There you have the plural expression. The Gemara now continues with, in effect, a question, and we've labeled this a long question. You can see the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of the question. Bishlamo the Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Lomuki law, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. I understand, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah's approach, that does not set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Hainu, the lo kotoni, v'yotsu shnei roshein ke'echod. There is no reference to this description in the Mishnah of their both of their heads exited at the same time, because our Mishnah doesn't hold like this, like the possibility of two coming out at once. That's a concept that Rabbi Yossi Haglili introduces of Efshe Letzamtzem, where two things exit at the same time. But as far as Rabbi Yirmiyah, where our Mishnah, whereby he says our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rabbi Yossi Haglili, there is no need to feature such a case. Elo Abaye, but according to Abaye, that says our Mishnah could be according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, listening, let the Mishnah teach the case of Yotsu Shnei Roshem Kechod. Let the Mishnah spell out, and their two heads, the two donkey births, their two heads come out at the same time, and the Mishnah would go on to teach you give only one sheep, one seh, redemption animal, to the Kohen. That teaching representing a chiddush, being a novel idea, whereby we can accentuate the point that Abaye made regarding Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that even though they come out exactly at the same time, in this case only one is given, as opposed to the case of a kosher variety animal, where in the same case two would be given to the Kohen. So why didn't the Mishnah say this, as far as Abaye is concerned? The Oid Tanya, and furthermore, we have a Tanaic source that says, Chamoro shelo bichro v'yolda shnei zechorim, v'yotsu shnei roshayim ke'echad. Here you have a brisa that spells out that case, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer shneihem la'kohen, shneimar ha'zechorim la'shem. Here Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, you give both animals, redemption animals, to the Kohen. And he quotes the pasuk that says, Hazichorim Lashem. And once we must emphasize, we're talking about a donkey that is giving birth, an unkosher variety animal. And this pasuk of Hazichorim Lashem is quoted. And you might say, well, but is this not written in the case of a behemoth tahora, of a kosher variety first birth, which involves kedushas haguf, an inherent sanctity, namely something offered as a korban on the altar, and you would have thought not applicable to a donkey first birth? Elo, but you see, Mishum Shneimar Hazichorim Lashem. But nevertheless, the pasuk says Hazichorim Lashem, and we in fact learn from the case of the kosher variety first birth to the case of the donkey. Not like Abaye said. Abaye had said shiny hosom. That was the Lashon Abaye used, that it's different there. No! You see that we have a pasuk by the kosher variety first birth, and we use that as a precedent for the donkey first birth. Tiufta da Abaye. This would appear to be a repudiation of Abaye. Tiufta. In fact, it is a repudiation of Abaye, who wanted to say that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, even though Efshe Letzamtzem is a reality, it will not manifest itself in the Hamor firstborn, where a twin birth takes place. Abaye had said you will give only one redemption animal. Here you see a clear source whereby Rabbi Yossi Aglili himself says you give two redemption animals. Hence, we are repudiating Abaye's approach to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Gemara at the top of Tesomid Beis continues, turning to the Rabbonan who disagree with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. As far as the Rabbonan are concerned, if two male newborns exit at the same time, only one is given, is needed to be redeemed. In other words, only one has Kedushas Bechor. Is it not possible that they, as they were coming out, if they came out together, so the birth canal, which in this case the Gemara refers to as the rechem, which is the area that creates sanctity. In other words, a firstborn is considered kadosh only when it comes through the rechem. In this case, as we say, the birth canal. If two are coming out at the same time, so the rechem is in contact only in partial contact with the vlad that is emerging, because the other part of the womb that would ordinarily be in contact with a singular birth, in this case it's blocked by the fact that it's accompanied by a twin coming out. So if it is maintained that the womb is the mechanism of establishing sanctity, and you have a twin birth taking place where they're coming out at the same time, and we're saying that there is sanctity that is experienced by one of these, as we can see that you need to redeem one of them, and it did not have full body contact with the womb. So this leads the Gemara to say as follows: V'rabonon, lemo kosavri rabonon miktsas rechem makdish, that even partial contact with the birth canal will establish sanctity. The ikule rechem makdish, if it were so that you would need to have a full newborn body contact with the birth canal, then nehi the efshel etzamtzem. Granted that according to the Rabbonin, they can't be said to be coming out exactly at the same time. However, chatzitza mihaika, there is some interposition. In other words, even though as a result of efshel etzamtzem, the head of one emerges before the head of the other, but nevertheless, at some point there is a blockage, an interposition, a block between part of the actual firstborn and the birth canal. So as a result of this description, and yet we see there is Kedusha, we must conclude that Miktsas Rechem is Makdish. Omar Rav. Rav says no, we're not going to make that come to that conclusion, but rather min bemino eino chotzeitz. There is no blockage in such a case, because min bemino, meaning two items of the same variety, the same classification, in this case two babies, a baby vis-a-vis the other baby doesn't pose a chatzitza, doesn't pose itself as an interposition, as opposed to some type of, let's say, foreign substance that might be present as it's emerging, that would be a chatzitza. But this, the other baby, is the same. It's the same variety as the bechor itself. Hence, it doesn't serve as a chatzitza. Zochar u'nekeva mafrish tle echod, and we say le'atzmo. The Gemara asks, ve'kevan de la'atzmo, since he's going to keep the redemption animal, loma li lafrushi. Since he's keeping it anyway, why does he have to set it aside in the first place? Answer, lafkue leisure mine. In this issue of redeeming a firstborn, there are two aspects, as we mentioned when learning the Mishnah. There is the isur aspect, the prohibition of benefiting from the firstborn, and also the need to give the redemption animal to the Kohen. That's a financial consideration, a monetary matter. So as far as the removal of the Esor from the firstborn donkey, that takes place only if you set aside a sheep as a redemption of that particular Esor. Once that's accomplished, so then the firstborn donkey, if there in fact is a firstborn donkey, there is no longer any problem in benefiting from it, in using it. And now, as far as the financial matter, namely the delivery of the redemption animal to the Kohen, since there is a doubt concerning that, there is no demand on the part of Halacha to give that to the Kohen. The Kohen is called Hamotzi Mechavero, and we say the one who is trying to extricate funds from someone else, Olav Harayah, upon him is the need to bring proof that there is an actual firstborn. But since there is a matter of doubt and the Kohen won't be able to prove it, so the owner keeps that redemption animal. The Gemara goes on and says, Alma, we see from this, Kokama Dolo Mifka, as long as you have not yet redeemed it, removed the Isser from the firstborn. In other words, as long as you haven't set aside a sheep as redemption, Osir Bahano, the firstborn donkey would be forbidden to benefit from. So, statement or this establishment that a firstborn donkey prior to its redemption is forbidden to benefit from, who, as far as Tanoim are concerned, would agree with that? Masnis and Moni, our Mishnah is according to whom? Before going any further in the Gemara, on the side we have included as our Nosei, the topic heading, Peter Hamor Lifnei Pidyon I Osir Bahano, whether it's Osir Bahano, is whether it is forbidden to benefit from, Machloikes Tanoim. The issue is a Tanaic controversy. So our Gemara is asking, our Mishnah that suggests that prior to the redemption, one is not allowed to benefit from the firstborn donkey, who would say that? The Gemara answers, Rebbe Yehuda he. This is in conformance to the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, Desanya. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see, it's in a frame. Peter Chamor Osir Bahano, Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. A firstborn donkey, prior to its redemption, is forbidden to benefit from. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon says that it is something that is allowed to, one is allowed to benefit from, even though you haven't as yet redeemed it. My time, Alder Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda insisting that a Peter Chamor is forbidden to benefit from? Of course, prior to its redemption. Before going on in the Gemara, we notice some structural phenomena. We see some double underlines and triangles, and they are explained in the under the Mivneh heading. We should point out that we have also a Roman numeral number 1 that accompanies this Gemara in the outside margin of the, that means the left-hand side of the Gemara text, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and a few lines later in the wide lines of the Gemara, you will notice a Roman numeral number 2. So, as far as the markings are concerned, we glance at the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, and you see a double underline featured. And we explain this Yoinois Lahazbir Loma Rebuda Osir Peter Chamor Kodem Pidyono Behano. What is the reason? So we will see attempts to explain why Rebuda holds this position. And as we mentioned, their attempts, they will, as each attempt appears, a triangle will follow, and that represents Pirchos, the undoing, a repudiation of that particular attempt. So we'll have to see if we can come up with a good explanation for Rebuta's position. The Gemara now. Omar Ula. We circled Ula's name so we can make easy reference to him. He says as follows. Yesh l'cha davar shetzorech pedia umutar? Is there any precedent for something that needs to be redeemed? And prior to its redemption, would it be allowed? So Reb Ula wants to say that the reason for Yuda is that since we're talking about a topic, namely firstborn donkey needing redemption, it must be that prior to that, it is forbidden to benefit from, because there doesn't seem to be any precedent of something that needs redemption and that would be mutter to benefit from prior to that. The Gemara says, what do you mean there's no precedent? V'lo, v'harei b'chor adam, shitzorach pedia umuter, a firstborn male human being. We know there's something called pidyon haben. Let us say a firstborn human being, firstborn Jewish male, comes into the world, is born, and even though pidyon haben is something that's done at day 30 days of age, let's say they didn't do that, and the person grew up and developed, and are you going to say that there is a iser hanah that one cannot benefit from such a person? That's simply not true. There is an obligation to set aside 5 pieces of silver and give it to a kohen, but In the meantime, as long as that hasn't been done, there is no Easter Hanah. There's no prohibition of benefiting from him. So, what is the explanation for Buddha, Ella? So, we try number 2, and we keep track of these numbers on the to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. You can see this is a second attempt. Ella, Yesh Lecha Davar. Could there be something Shehikpida Alav Torah Beseh Umutr, where the Torah insists on a specific means of redemption, namely a seh. At this point, the translation would be that the only means of redemption would be a seh Umutr, and after you see the Torah is so restrictive in its approach to the redemption, could it be imagined that prior to the redemption, it would be mutter to benefit from it, from the donkey? The Gemara rejects this on questions the whole premise here. Omi hikpida, who says the Torah was so restrictive in the means of redemption? V'arav Nechemia Breder of Yosef, we know this individual Rav Nechemia Porek lay b'shilki b'shavyo. He redeemed a firstborn donkey by offering to the Kohen cooked vegetables. Bishavio means having the same value as the donkey. So if the firstborn donkey is worth $100, Rav Nechemia gave to the Kohen a pot full of cooked vegetables worth $100. So the Gemara says, Bishavio lo ko'omar. Ki ko'amrinon below shelo b'shavyo. Before going any further in the Gemara, let us just point out that we have spoken about the redemption of firstborn donkeys through the presenting of a sheep to the Kohen, sheep or goat, a seh to the Kohen. This is a provision, an allowance the Torah makes for a person that wants to redeem his donkey with something that does not have the value of that donkey. Namely, it might be worth quite a bit less than the donkey. So there is a possibility of using something less than its value as a form of redemption. That allowance is made only if you choose to use a seh for its redemption. However, if you don't want to use a seh, you don't have a seh, or whatever, for the redemption, there is another option. But the other option that one may take is a possibility only if it has the value of the donkey. So you can use basically anything to redeem the firstborn donkey, but if you're not going to be using a seh, the item used for redemption must correspond in value to the firstborn donkey. And that's what the word b'shavyo means, its value. So, we continue in the Gemara, still we're searching for a reason for Rebbe Yehuda, and who says that the Petach Hamor's Osir B'Hanah is forbidden to benefit from prior to its redemption. So the Gemara says, listen, as far as redemption at market value, that's not what we're mentioning. B'shavyo lo komar. Ki korminon shelo b'shavyo. We are mentioning the redemption process using something, namely the seh, that does not have the same value as the donkey. V'hochi ko'omar. And thusly, we are arguing or explaining to clarify the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Dovar shekpida olav Torah laafkuei leisure bese umuter. Could there be a situation where the Torah has a very specific means of redemption for the purpose of removing iser, namely a se, and still the item, the firstborn donkey, could be muter bahano? In other words, where you see the Torah has a focused method of redemption for the purpose of removing iser, could it be that the item that needs redemption would be muter to benefit from? Mutter to benefit from prior to its redemption? The Gemara says, well, why not? Vare Meiser. Meiser is a reference to the tithe, one-tenth of one's produce that one tithes and brings to Yerushalayim. We call this Meiser Sheni. Hikpida olav Torah bekesef tzuri. The Torah says that you can redeem the fruits and opt not to bring the fruits, but rather a cash, a cash value to Yerushalayim, and buy in Yerushalayim fruits in fulfillment of Meiser Sheni. But in redeeming the Meiser Sheni, the only means of redemption is by transferring the sanctity on Kesef Tzuri, which means minted coins, coins that have a form on it, as would be the case of a minted coin. In other words, you couldn't redeem the Meiser Sheni onto a metal or silver disc that's unminted. So we see precedent for the Torah having a focused means of redemption with the hope of removing the Isser from it, with removing the prohibition associated with Meiser Sheni. And yet we see Utnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bemezid Kidesh, if a person were to take the Meiser Sheni fruits that have not yet been redeemed and presented to a woman as a means of betrothal, a means of marrying her, it works, it takes hold. So we see from here that it's mutter bahana. He's benefiting in the sense that he's marrying a woman through the as yet untithed Meiser Sheni produce. So the Gemara responds and says, "But petach hamor nami mikdasha kid Rebbe Lozer." Well, the same situation in the case of petach hamor, if a person would give a petach hamor prior to its redemption to a woman, she in fact would become married. She would be mikudeshes with that. The Omar Rebbe Lozer, Isha Yoda Shein Meiser Sheni Mischal Al Yoda, a woman knows very well that by giving the Meiser Sheni produce to her outside of Yerushalayim, that it doesn't lose its sanctity, it doesn't become chulin through that, and yet the Oyla V'Chos of Yerushalayim, she is interested in the marriage anyway, because she knows now she has fruits she can bring to Yerushalayim and benefit from them over there. So the woman is said to receiving benefit. Hachanami, so too in the case of offering the Peter Chamor to the woman in marriage, Isho Yodas, the Peter Chamor Isura Ispe. Notice we've dashed underline this phrase. She knows fully well that it is forbidden to benefit from it prior to its redemption. So you'll ask, then, how is it that the woman is married through this when we should have said this earlier, that a woman becomes married only when she receives something of value. But if we say the petach hamor is osur bahana, so she is not receiving something of value, so then how is it that she is married? Well, because even though it currently does not have value to it, nevertheless she acquiesces to the marriage, because uparko lebase, she will then take this forbidden to benefit from chamor, redeem it through a sheep that has less value, umikdisha bahach debeni ubeni, and she is married through the difference in value. In other words, if our concern is that the woman gets something of value, so even when you give her the petach hamor that is Osir Bahana, nevertheless, she does get value, namely the difference in value between the donkey and the sheep. As far as we are concerned, then, at this point in the Gemara, we don't see an explanation for Rabbi Yehuda's insistence that the Peter Hamor is Osir Bahana. As far as the issue of her being able to be a mekudeshes through the petach hamor, let us back up for a moment and clarify our comments. As far as our search for a hesber for Rebbe Yehuda, who holds the petach hamor is osir bahana, we saw in the third stage of attempts to explain this, the Gemara said, could there be something where the Torah is makbid, has a focused method of redemption, namely the seh, and still the item that needs to be redeemed would be allowed. That type of svara was then challenged by the Gemara from the case of Meiser Sheni, where we saw a focused type means of redemption, and yet the Meiser Sheni appeared to be mutter bahana. So to that, the Gemara said that's not a challenge, because the equivalent case, namely the marriage example, in the case of the petach hamor, she also would be married. But the marriage there is through the difference in value between the seh and the petach hamor. Her benefit is from that difference in value. But that doesn't show us that the petach hamor itself is mutter bahana. So with this argument that we called stage 3, we have a svara for Rabbi Yehuda's position that the petach hamor prior to redemption is in fact osir bahana. Rabbi Shimon, my taimo. Well, what about Rabbi Shimon, who says that it's mutter to benefit from the petach hamor prior to its redemption? Omar Ula. Ula answers, could it be that yesh l'chadavar shepidyonoi mutter v'u osir, where the means of redemption itself is mutter to benefit from? The animal, the set, once it's set aside as a redemption, it does not become osir bahana. So if the means of redemption is mutter to benefit, is allowed to benefit from, it must be that the original item is also allowed to be benefited from. The Gemara asks, is this a tight argument? Voloi. V'hare shvius. We know in the case of produce from the seventh year of the agricultural cycle, the Shemitah year, de pidyona mutter v'hi asura, where the original shvius fruits are usur to benefit from after other than the actual eating of the peros shvius, other use of peros shvius is forbidden, and yet the that's referred to as by using the term kedushas shvius, and yet the pidyon, things that one gets in exchange for it, are mutter, don't have that restriction. The Gemara says that's simply incorrect. Shvius nami pidyona osir. In the case of shvius, produce from the seventh year, an item acquired in exchange for the peros shvius is also forbidden. The omar mar ho'achron achron osir. The Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, let us say a person had some seventh year produce, and he exchanged it for, let us say, another item. He took some seventh year grapes and exchanged it for oil. So the grapes remain prohibited as having Kedusha Shvias, the sanctity of the seventh year, and the oil that he got in exchange for those fruits also has this restriction upon it. So how can you say that the Shvias redemption is allowed? So as far as we are concerned, Ula gave a reason for Rabbi Shimon. Namely, is there anything where the pidyon would be mutter and the original thing usser? If we know that the pidyon, the seh, the sheep, is mutter to benefit from, that reflects upon the original item. And as far as trying to cite Shvius as a challenge to that, Shvius is not a challenge to that, because in the case of Shvius, the redemption item or the exchanged item is also forbidden. Therefore, Ula's reason still holds, where if you find that the exchanged item, the redemption item, is mutter to benefit from, that sheds light on the original item as well. The boy is Amal, another approach to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon to explaining them is as follows. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Bahai Kro Komiflegi. Their machlokes is based on the following pasuk, which will be featured in the upcoming Tanaic source. Before we get to that, though, we just want to review a structural point. We began this section of Gemara with a Roman numeral number 1, and that was featured on the upper part of the narrow lines to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, where the Gemara was delving into the reasons behind. The Gemara started with Rabbi Yehuda, and then subsequently moved on to Rabbi Shimon. At this point, the Gemara offers an alternative approach to getting into their reasons. In our markings, we often use a squiggle underline to indicate a change in versions or stages or alternatives. Here, we squiggle line the Ebois Amo to indicate this is a new alternative to explaining Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda holding that it's osur b'hano, and Rabbi Shimon holding that the peter chamor is mutar b'hano, revolves around the following posuk. The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source, which presents a posuk in Dvorim, perek tesvav posuk yutes. Before reading the source, let's just glance to the side of the Gemara, where you see the entire posuk featured. Let's read it first. It says, Kol habachor asher yivoled bivkorcha uvitzoncha hazachor takdish lashem elokecha lo savod bivchor shorecha velo sogoiz bivchor tzonecha. In this pasuk, there's a reference to lo savod bivchor shorecha and another reference to velo sogoiz bivchor tzonecha. Don't work with the firstborn cows, oxen, and don't shear the firstborn sheep. The source, Tesanya, Loi Savoid Bivchor Sharecha. You cannot work with your firstborn oxen. Aval Ata Oived Bishelcha Ubishel Achirim. However, if you have an animal that is jointly owned with an idol worshipper, that's Bishelcha Ubishel Achirim, it's jointly owned, then this restriction does not apply. In other words, the Pasuk is focused on a sole ownership on the part of a Jew, where a Jew is the sole owner of the firstborn, that is something that is forbidden to work with. However, if it's a jointly owned firstborn, there is no restriction. Velo chazo sogoiz b'chor tzonecha, and the pasuk warns against shearing firstborn sheep, firstborn male sheep. And again, we infer aval ata goizeis shelcha v'shel achirim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. However, if it's a jointly owned, you and Gentile jointly owned the firstborn sheep, you're allowed to shear it. It doesn't have kedushas b'chor. Rabbi Shimon Omer loy savoy b'v'chor shorecha. Looking at the same pasuk, he learns as follows: aval ata oivei b'v'chor odom. In other words, a firstborn ox is usher to use. However, a firstborn human being is mutter to benefit from him. lo sagoiz b'chor tzonecha, avol ato goizeiz peter chamor. You're not allowed to shear firstborn sheep. However, we infer from this, you are allowed to shear firstborn donkeys. In other words, you could shave the hair of a firstborn donkey and benefit from it. Well, we see here, Rabbi Shimon learns, and we dashed underline this, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that it is mutter, it is allowed to benefit from a firstborn sheep. Rabbi Yehuda obviously disagrees. So that our machlokes, tanoim, revolves around how to darshan, how to expound upon this pasuk. Bishlamo the Rabbi Shimon, who allows two separate things, two separate items. He allowed the use of a Bechor Adam, and he allowed the use of a Peter Chamor, firstborn donkey. Hainu dichtiv trei kroi. With that, I can appreciate that there are two separate psukim. We have two separate phrases. There's lo savod b'chor shorecha and lo sagoz b'chor tzonecha. Each phrase is coming to infer, from which we infer two separate things, two separate elements or realms. One was b'chor Adam and the other was peter chamor. Elo the Rabbi Yehuda. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where the item of allowance or the situation of allowance of leniency was the situation of partnership with idol worshipper. Trei kroi limuti shelcha b'shelachirim lomali. What do I need to have two separate phrases to allow one situation, namely joint ownership with Gentile? Vesu, Rabbi Yehuda. Furthermore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are you going to say Bechor Adam Nami Nemo Da Osir? Are you going to say that Rabbi Yehuda will forbid benefit from a firstborn person before he is redeemed? That's not so. But from the way things are presented here, it seems that only Rabbi Shimon is allowing for benefit from Bechor Adam. So after raising these questions, the Gemara re-explains, Ela dekule alma shorecha limute b'chor adam hudasa. Everyone is in agreement that the phrase lo savod b'chor shorecha is here to from which to draw the inference that firstborn person is allowed to benefit from. In other words, not just Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Yehuda would agree with that. Ki pligi b'tzonecha. The machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon revolves around this last phrase of the pasuk. The Rabbi Yehuda l'tame. Rabbi Yehuda, in coming to the conclusion that it would be usur to benefit from the peter chamor, is consistent with what he says elsewhere. The Omar, Rabbi Yehuda says, shutfis oive kichavim chayeves bevechora. Something that is jointly owned with a Gentile, a firstborn that's jointly owned with a Gentile, is not exempt from the laws regarding Bechora. We might add that if a firstborn is jointly owned with a Gentile, it's not going to be brought as a sacrifice. However, because half of it is owned by the Gentile, which is excluded from the realm of Bechor sacrifices. However, the value, half of the value of the Bechor, which is owned by the Jew, that half of value has a Bechor status, which means that a Kohen is expected to receive half the value of it. Well, given that's the case, that an animal owned jointly with a Gentile has a Bechor status, there will be benefit in having a pasuk that will exclude this in the following sense. V'chi itzdirich kro, I need a scriptural reference, Lemishri Begizav Avoda, to say that it's mutter, it's allowed to benefit from it. Namely, even though you have something that has Bechor status, the Torah reveals that since it's in joint ownership with a Gentile, it is allowed to, one is allowed to benefit from it. This, of course, is as opposed to something that's a completely owned Jewish firstborn that, as Rabbi Yehuda would say, is usher to benefit from it. Rabbi Shimon, Savar, Rabbi Shimon, who uses the pasuk of Lo Sogoiz Bechor Tzonecha in his way, holds Shutfis Oved Kachavim Ptura Min HaBechorah. Something that's jointly owned with a Gentile is allowed to be, is, doesn't have any Bechor status to it, none whatsoever. And as far as allowance for Giza Vavoda, shearing and working with it, I don't need a Pasuk to allow something that's obviously Mutter, meaning since it has no Bechor status, so of course it's Mutter allowed to benefit from it. Ki Itzterich Kra. When do I, yes, need the pasuk to serve as a source of leniency? That's lepeter chamor. That's for a firstborn donkey that's completely owned by a Jew. And so as you can see, according to Rabbi Shimon, this pasuk of Tzonecha is telling me that one is not allowed to benefit from a firstborn sheep or goat, kosher variety firstborn, but one is allowed to benefit from firstborn chamor, even though it's totally owned by a Jew. That's Rabbi Shimon. And just to review, Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says that something that's a bechor, peter chamor, that's totally owned by a Jew is also to benefit from. What do I need the pasuk for that serves as a leniency? That's for a specific case of a firstborn donkey that's jointly owned with a Gentile. And the chiddush is, the novel point is, that even though it, this jointly owned chamor, has bechor status to it, nevertheless, since it's jointly owned with a Gentile, one is allowed to benefit from it even prior to its redemption. Bishlamo l'Rabbi Yehuda, haynu dichtiv tzonecha. I understand things according to Rabbi Yehuda, who excludes shutfis akum, joint ownership with Gentile, who excludes that from the realm of prohibition. I understand why the pasuk that speaks about prohibition speaks about it in the possessive, tzonecha, your meaning the Jewish sheep, the Jewish owned, completely owned are forbidden, inferring from that, not completely Jewish owned, it is allowed. And v'shorecha, the pasuk that in the same pasuk, the phrase that said shorecha, that also has the possessive to it, well, that's there, which was there to memayit b'chor adam, and it might have been possible to write shor meaning ox, without the possessive, in order to come to the conclusion regarding adam, shor, usser, adam mutter, but yet it opted to write the word shorecha in the possessive. Well, that's a structural consideration. That's otu tzonecha. That's because the word tzonecha, which has to be written in the possessive in order to exclude the case of Gentile joint ownership, therefore shorecha also appears within the possessive form. Elo l'Rabbi Shimon, but according to Rabbi Shimon, shorecha v'tzonecha lomali, why do both of them, both of these words have to be written in the possessive? After all, according to Rabbi Shimon, he excludes firstborn men in general from prohibition, and he also excludes firstborn donkeys in general, even if they're completely owned by Jews. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, grammatically, it would have been possible simply to write the words shor and son without the possessive form. So why the possessive form? Kashya, this point remains a point of difficulty. As we continue in the Gemara, we are immediately drawn to the presence of a firebox. We are about to start a sugya that lasts a long time. This sugya lasts till Daf Yud Omid Beis. We have indicated this in the under the Nosei heading in our outside margin. We've indicated parentheses Ad Yud Omid Beis. Din Rabba. Rabba's halacha. Rabba says Moide Rabbi Shimon La'achara Rifa Shu Osir Bano. We have been discussing Shitas Rabbi Shimon in the context of his machlokas with Rabbi Yehuda, and we saw that Rabbi Shimon says that a petach hamor, a firstborn donkey prior to its redemption, is something one is allowed to benefit from. However, says Rabba, in the situation that a person opts not to redeem this firstborn donkey, and the Torah says you shall break its neck. In other words, the animal is killed. The donkey is killed. Rabbi Shimon will concede that at that point it is usur to benefit from it. This is Rabba's contention. As the sugya unfolds, though, we may be exposed to other approaches within Rabbi Shimon, where the Gemara will posit the idea that Rabbi Shimon will tell you it's mutter to benefit from it even after its neck has been broken. As we noted, the sugya itself is quite long, and in the context of a daf yomi style shir, so we will not be able to complete the whole sugya in this particular installment, because we're learning daf tesin. As we said, the sugya continues to daf yud amid beis, so it's important to have some type of guideline or map in front of you as to how the Gemara unfolds. So when we get to daf yud amid aleph, we will notice a little less than halfway down the page, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, there will appear a number 2 that's encircled. This number 2 is in contrast with the number 1 that we see right here in our Gemara. This represents the first stage in our approach to Shitas Rabbi Shimon, and that's provided to us by Rabba. Rabba, who tells us that Rabbi Shimon will concede that after the neck of the donkey is broken, in the case that, of course, he opted not to redeem it, so it's forbidden to benefit from it. When we get to Yud Amid Aleph, the Gemara Mirtz Hashem in our next shiur, and we encounter that number 2 that's encircled, at that point the Gemara will tell us that really Rabbi Shimon can hold that the Petach Hamor after Arifa, after its neck is broken, is actually Mutar Bano, and we'll then have to re-explain whatever source or proof we brought on to benefit Rabba's position that it's Asur Bahanah. So that if the Gemara wants to make a change and say that in fact it's Mutar Bahanah, we'll have to re-explain whatever we are going to learn under stage 1. Since we're already talking about the superstructure of the Gemara, we might as well note that there will be a third stage that appears at the top of Yud Amid Beis. There will be a diamond will appear there as well. And according to the Rabbeinu Gershom's explanation of this sugya, stages 2 and 3 are working along the lines holding not like Rabba, but rather that Rabbi Shimon will tell you that after Arifa, in fact, it still is Mutar Bahana. But the reasons for having stages 2 and 3 will be attempts to deal with points and proofs that were brought up till that point for various reasons. And our hope is, of course, that the markings will help us in navigating through this lengthy sukkah. So in the meantime, we will continue with our, we'll call it the first stage of dealing with Shitas Rabbi Shimon, by learning Rabba. So our Gemara continues. Omar Rabba. Umoide Rabbi Shimon la'achar arifa shu osir. Now we've dashed underline that because we want to use this as a focal point for our discussion. Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabba, will concede that even though before redemption one is allowed to benefit from a firstborn donkey, if, however, one does not redeem it and goes ahead with the breaking of its neck, the animal the carcass will be forbidden to benefit from. My taimo, what's the basis of this? Gomar arifo arifo me'eglo arufo. There is a word comparison, a gzera shava, from eglo arufa. Eglo arufa is a calf that is brought as part of a ritual when a murder victim is found between two cities. The city closer to where the murder victim is found brings a calf, and its neck is broken. This, of course, has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. This is a non-sacrificial realm of halacha, and the Eglo Arufa itself is something that is usur to benefit from. And through the word comparison, we say, just like Eglo Arufo, it's an animal whose neck is broken, is usur to benefit from, so too in the case of the Petach Hamor. Omar Rabo, Mino Amino La. Rabo is asking, or telling us, from where do I know that Rebbe Shimon in fact learns this particular Gezeirah Shavah? From where do I see Rebbe Shimon in a source maintaining that the Petar Hamor after Arifa is treated like the Eglo Arufa? Where do I see it in a source? Well, we have a long point that begins here. You can see we have a nun that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. We call this a point. In fact, it's a type of answer to the question of Mino Amino La, but we're nevertheless calling it a long point in order to bring us down the upper part of Yud Amud Aleph. You'll notice it's a very long point, and it ends on the line in which you see a diamond appearing where the term Hocha B'Mayaskinon is found. All of this piece of Gemara is here to make a point. In the course of the Gemara, we will encounter a bracketed section, and we will explain that when we get to it. In the meantime, where do we see in a source like Rabbah's claim that Rabbi Shimon would aser b'hano'o the Petar Hamor? I recommend that you don't sit at the edge of your chair, because we're not going to see it so blatant in the following source, but as a result of a discussion that ensues afterwards, we will attempt to conclude thusly. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source that opens up with a list of items. Ha'orlo, kilea kerem. Orlo is our fruits from fruit trees within the first 3 years of such a tree. Kilea kerem is a crossbreeding between vines and other vegetation that grows in the kerem. Maybe crossbreeding is not an exact expression, but it's a function of other varieties of plants, vegetation growing in a kerem, in a vineyard. Shor HaNiskal is an animal that killed a human being and is sentenced to itself being killed as a result of that. The Eglo Arufa, we described that before in the case of the murder victim, found between two cities. The Tzipore Mitzora, these are birds that are brought for the purification of a Mitzora after his Mitzora impurity status. Upeter Hamor, our topic, of course, of firstborn donkey. Boser Becholov, the milk and meat that are cooked together. Kulon Mitamen Tumas Ochlin. All of these items, even though they are known to be Osir Behano, one is Osir to benefit, one is prohibited from benefiting from them, nevertheless, they have a food status associated with them, and if, let us say, they became Tomei through contact with a source of Tumah, for example, a dead Sheretz, these items would be able to communicate Tumah to another food item. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kulon Ein Metamen Tumas Ochlin. Our sugya is really going to be focusing on Shitas Reb Shimon. He says all of these items do not communicate Tumas Ochlin. For we will have to see what the reason for this is, but in the meantime, these are items that have an Isser Hanah associated with them. You cannot benefit from them. And as a result, they don't have a food status associated with them. Umodi Rabbi Shimon, but Basar B'Cholav, Rabbi Shimon will concede, however, in the case of meat and milk cooked together, Shemetama Tumas Ochlin, Hoyo V'Hoyso Loi Shas HaKosher. Meat and milk that are cooked together, even though one is not allowed to eat such a thing. Nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon says, since prior to the cooking, meat and milk were permitted substances, they will have a food status vis-a-vis Tumas Ochlin. The Omer Rabbi Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, my time of Rabbi Shimon, why is it that the items mentioned above are not Mitama Tumas Ochlin? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, with regard to Tumas Ochlin, it says, Mikol Ha'Oichel Asher Ye Ocheel. From this we learn, Oichel Shato Yochel Achilu Achim Kori Ochel, food that you can serve others, that you can feed others, in other words, you can give other people, others a gift of this, benefit from it. So food that you can give others, korui ochel, is called ochel. However, she'i ata yochol achilo achirim, something that you cannot serve to others, eino korui ochel, is not called ochel. So we have a list of things in this source that Rabbi Shimon tells us are not considered ochel because I can't give it to others. I can't feed it to others. As an exception, he mentions basar b'chalav. Now, if it were so that Peter Hamor, after its neck is broken, one is allowed to benefit from it. In other words, one is allowed to give it as a gift to someone. So why does Rabbi Shimon not include this along with Basar B'Cholav as something that would have Tumas Ochlin? You'll notice at the top line of Yud Amud Aleph a bracket. So let us skip this bracketed section for a moment. The length of the bracketed section, you can see, is indicated by the bracket length indicator, the vertical dash dotted line that you see to the immediate side of the Gemara text. We skip this section for a moment, and we continue reading. Ve'im Esau, if it were so, de la'achar arifa shori Rabbi Shimon, that after the breaking of its neck, Rabbi Shimon would allow the petach hamor, firstborn donkey, to be benefited from. Listening, so it should have taught in this source that we read at the bottom of Tesomid Beis, Umoide Rabbi Shimon bePeter Chamor u Boser B'Cholav Shemetamin Tumas Ochlin. That in addition to Boser B'Cholav, Rabbi Shimon would concede that the Peter Chamor is also Metamet Tumas Ochlin. Well, he could feed it to others. He could give it as food to others. So from the fact that it's not included with Basar B'Cholav, it must be that Petach Hamor is something you cannot give to others. It's something that, as Rabbah maintained, is usur to benefit from. So, and that will represent the end of the long point that we made, how Rabbah sees in this source that features Tumas Eichlin, you see in this source how Rabbi Shimon views the Petach Hamor together with the Eglo Arufa as something that is usur to benefit from. It is something you cannot give to others. The Gemara that follows will reject that and tell us that Rabbi Shimon in general will say that it is mutter to benefit from it. So the question then will be, why in this source is there an indication that it does not, the Petach Hamor does not have Tumas Ochlin? That, of course, will be the discussion of the next Shiur. However, in the meantime, we have come to the end of the long point that indicates Rabbi Shimon holds that the Petach Hamor is Osir Behano, as is evidenced in this source by the absence of Petach Hamor being taught along with Basar B'Cholav. And with that, we would come to the conclusion that Rabbi Shimon holds after Arifa, it is as like Rabba said, Asir Bahana'a. We also have to go through to the bracketed section, which is for us some incompleted business. We now turn to the bracketed section. The bracketed section focuses on the Basar B'Cholav detail. That's why it was important for us to initially skip this section, because Basar B'Cholav was not the focus of our attention per se. But now we look at the bracketed section. Coming off the last point in the Gemara, which said that Oichel She'i, that said She'i Ato Yochel Achil L'Acherim, something that you cannot feed to others is not called Oichel. The Gemara now asks, E Hachi, if it's so that the reasoning for Rabbi Shimon concerning Tumas Oichlin is dependent on the Hano aspect, Basar B'Cholav, my Irya Dehoisa Lo Shasa Kosher, why in the source does it teach that Basar B'Cholav is Tomei Tumas, is Metame Tumas Ochlin, because it once was allowed, namely before it was cooked up, it was allowed? Why resort to that reason? Tepukli, let it be learned out that Basar B'Cholav is Metame Tumas Ochlin to Eichel Shato Yochel Lahachilo Lahachirim Hu. Basar B'Cholav is something you are allowed to feed to others. This, of course, is Shita's Rabbi Shimon. It's a unique Shita, but it's a known Shita that Rabbi Shimon holds, unlike many other Tanaic authorities. Rabbi Shimon holds that Basar B'Cholav is something that one is allowed to benefit from. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source in which this point is emphasized. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Now we've dashed underline Rabbi Shimon because he is the focus of our attention. Basar B'Cholav, Asur B'Achilu Mutur B'Hanah. Basar B'Cholav, though it's also to eat, it's something one is allowed to benefit from. In other words, it's something one would be allowed to give to others. Oichel Shato Yochol Achil Achirim. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, by Basar B'Cholav, it says, Ki Am Kadosh Ato Lashem Elokecha. It goes on to say, Loi Sevashel Gidi B'Chalevi Moi. One shall not cook the meat and milk together. Ulahalanu Omer, and later and elsewhere it says, with regard to Trefa, it says, V'anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li. That's another Pasuk, in which it says, again, V'anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, U'basar B'sadet Trefa Lo Sochelu, V'akelev Tashlichun Osoi. That's a Pasuk, and you see we've written this in between the lines, in the case of Trefa. Ma lahalon osur b'achilu mutur b'hanah. Just like in the case of trefa, it's something that you're not allowed to eat yourself. However, you can feed it to the dogs. It's something you're allowed to benefit from. Giving this to the dogs as their food is a benefit to you. Afkan, so to hear by Basar B'Cholav, osur b'achilu mutur b'hanah, is something that one cannot eat. But the Basar B'Cholav, the cooked meat and milk, one is allowed to benefit from, and as we saw through the word comparison between Kodosh and Kodesh. The word comparison learned from the realm of Trefa to the realm of Basar B'Cholav. So after all is said and done, Rabbi Shimon could have told us that Basar B'Cholav is Metame Tumas Ochlin, not because it had a Shas HaKosher, not because it was once mutter before it was cooked up, because milk on its own and meat on its own happen to be food items, but even after it's cooked up together, though you can't eat it, nevertheless it's Oichel Shatzi Yochol Achil Achirem. And that was the reason that the Gemara gave, that Rav Asi Yom Rav Yochan gave to Shitas Rabbi Shimon regarding all the other items, is why they are not Metame Tumas Ochlin. It seemed to all depend on the Hanoah factor. So why, if that's the case, does Rabbi Shimon and the source say that Basar B'Cholav is explained through the fact it had a Shas HaKosher, it was once Mutter? Forget about that. Even if it was, even without that reason, it is something, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can benefit from. You can be machil oisel achirim. So the Gemara answers, you know, you're right. Everything you said is right. Chada v'od kamar. There are actually two two reasons to explain why Basar B'cholov is Matame Tumas Oichlin. Chada, one is the Oichel She'ato Yochol Lachilo Lachirim Hu. Basar B'cholov is something, as we saw in this source just quoted with the Trefa, that is something you can feed others. The Oid L'dide Nami Hoysa Lo Shas HaKosher. The Rashi on the second line from the top says L'didei Nami L'tzorech Yisrael Atzmoi Hoysa Lo Shas HaKosher, with regard to the Yisrael himself, forgetting about the issue of giving it to others, but with regard to the Yisrael itself, the Basar B'cholov Hoysa Lo Shas HaKosher, it had a point in which it was a point in time in which it was mutter. Avol shor haniska vegla rufa, the other items mentioned in the list, for example the shor, that the animal that killed someone, or the egla rufa, the animal brought as a result of finding a murder victim between two cities, lo hoysolo shasa kosher, was something was never allowed, meaning afilu kodem lechein, even before the animal was stoned or the egla, the calf's neck was broken, because the behemo b'chayel b'cheskas isro medes, an animal when it's alive, a live animal is also usser. It's usser. It's called aver minachai. When it's alive, it's usser. After its neck is broken or after it's stoned, it's usser. It never had a shasa kosher, as opposed to basar b'cholov, it did have a shasa kosher, namely before they were cooked up together. So in this bracketed section, we were focusing on the issue of Rabbi Shimon's reasoning for Basar B'cholov of having Tumas Ochlin. So in the source that we saw at the bottom of Tesom and Beis, he gave one reason, namely it's an item, Basar B'cholov is an item that had a Shasa Kosher, and in addition to that, it happens to also be Oichel Shato Yochol L'Hachilo L'Achirim. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.